This program was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, Irirangi Tamotu, MPR. If you're enjoying this podcast in Manawatu, you could make your very own, just like this one. MPR exists to help people like you tell your story or share your passion on air and online. Check out mpr.nz for more information.
Hello there, how you doing? It's Kevin Riley here, and welcome to Irish Time here on Manawatu People's Radio. In Palmerston North, of course. Anyway, music they'll be playing, and also, but just generally news of what's going on in Ireland in the last couple of days or so, you know. Anyway, we've got this in today's paper, actually, a concert with the Irish Writing Gong. This is Lorna Johnson. She popped up over the island during the July break to collect an award for winning an Irish essay writing competition, etc., etc. She completed a higher diploma in functional Irish from the University of Galway last year. She was awarded the McDonagh Scholarship for the 25-26 academic year and was currently studying for a master's degree in language studies. This is doing learning the Irish language was something I've never had, because where I come from, you went to prison if you started to speak the Irish language. But it's changed now. This gives you an idea how old I am. But in those days, it was basically illegal to speak Irish, you know, because it was a predominantly Protestant government, really. But anyway, that's so good, and congratulations to her on that winning that. That's a real, that's really cool. You're really cool. Anyway, get back to what's going on here. This is the FLA. You have to watch this if you get on your internet or iPad. Just look up Belfast FLA 2026, and it takes you into a whole lot of, you know, videos of what's actually in the streets of Belfast. It is absolutely mind-blowing. It's amazing, all the sort of the tourists, but also the musicians and dancers in the streets. Just, they've shut the whole city centre down just for this to happen. It goes on for 8 days. But if you get the opportunity, get on to it, and you won't be disappointed. You'd be really, really kind of chuffed that you actually heard about it and sort of did something about it, and you watched it. It's just unbelievable. That's a biased point of view, of course, from Belfast, you know. But it is. It's really something special. Anyway, what have we got here? Hosting the 2026 FLA is expected to bring in an economic boost of £52 million to Northern Ireland. That gives you some idea of the size of this. The FLA is underway in Belfast, like I said. The event, which runs from August the 2nd to the 9th, will draw hundreds of thousands of visitors to the city over the coming days. They had predictions of 800,000 people will be over in Belfast and the north during the festival. It will also deliver significant economic, cultural and tourism benefits across the north. Irish dancers are rehearsed there backstage, showed some photographs of them, you know, at the side of the City Hall. It's just, like I said, watch it. It's just, you won't be disappointed. It is with immense pride that we welcome visitors, performers across Ireland, the minister said at the official opening of the festival at Belfast City Hall. That's where a lot of it's taking place, outside the City Hall. They've got a big stage set up. It's just amazing. With more than 700,000 visitors expected to attend and an estimated economic impact of around £53 million, that's about $120 million New Zealand dollars. This landmark event will provide a major boost for our economy, support local businesses and showcase the very best of what we have to offer. This is an opportunity to invite the world to experience the warmth of our welcome. That's true. It is warm. Street performers play at a bus stop on the opening day, while visitors will enjoy all that Belfast and the FLA had to offer, encouraging them to explore further, discover our stunning scenery, vibrant culture and unique experiences across the north. Tourism Northern Ireland is supporting the delivery of the FLA with £1 million in funding to the Belfast City Council. The FLA will strengthen our international profile, drive visitor spending and leave a lasting legacy for the communities in the north. It promises to be an exceptional week, and what I've seen of it so far, it is. It's heading that way. with world-class competitions, vibrant performances, and countless informal sessions that form the beating heart of the FLA. I wish everyone involved a successful and enjoyable FLA, and I look forward to enjoying the music, culture, and the atmosphere that it creates. And like I keep saying, have a look at it. You won't be disappointed. It's just, it's amazing. What else we got here? This is a bit of sad news, but that's life, really. Stars from the world of music, including Bono, Pearl Jam's lead singer Eddie Vedder, I think, and Hozier, attended the funeral of Glenn Hansen, who died last week. He had a great voice, this guy. Hansen, who shot the prominence in 1991, musical comedy The Commitments, was longtime frontman of an acclaimed rock band, The Frames. News of his sudden death, he was killed in a motorbike accident just outside Dublin. News of his sudden death shocked the music world and fans alike, with tributes being paid from the likes of Ed Sheeran and Bruce Springsteen, who said he was heartbroken. Many people also paid their respects in a public wake in the city there on Monday, and there was hundreds and hundreds at it. The funeral was held in St. Patrick's Cathedral in Dublin on Tuesday and featured musical performances by friends and family. Mourners included Bono, Eddie Vintner, I think, Ozzy, The Edge, Steve Coogan, Imelda May, Paddy Casey, Declan O'Rourke, and Angeline Ball, who started along Hazard in the BAFN in the BAFTA-winning comedy, The Commitments, like I said. She was part of it, yeah. Representatives of the President of Ireland, Kathleen Collins and the Taoiseach, were also among the mourners. They had sent people from their departments or their offices. At the start of the service, a guy was brought to the altar, a former Flames band man, and he went on to perform a song for those gathered alongside Liam O'Malley, I think that is. Irish traditional music people said Hansard was so well known on the big stages of Ireland and all over the world, which is true, you know, in the Irish communities around the world. He described him as an ordinary, kind-hearted Ballymun man, a true Dubliner, that says, to the uninitiated. Many of Hansard's other famous friends performed in the sermon, including U2, Bono, Hot House Flowers, and Liam O'Malley, like I said, singer-songwriter Damien Dempsey, and Lisa O'Neill. Because they were just, I think it was Lisa O'Neill and him did at the funeral of, God, I've forgotten his name already. The guy was in St. Patrick's Cathedral there in Dublin. The Pogues, the man from the Pogues, you know. Yeah, it was hard to believe. I mean, they were singing there, you know, only a matter of weeks ago. And Jesus, he's the next one that's walking out the door in a coffin. Anyway, that was really sad news. You know, I was really sad to hear that he had, because he was such a decent man. He did a lot of stuff for the homeless, and he used to stop in some of the streets in Dublin, mostly you know, Connell Street, places like that, and just pick up the car and play and collect money and donate the money to whoever charity was around at the time. But he helped the homeless in a big way in collection of money, etc., etc. And, you know, the people who were struggling, he did his bit. He was, you know, a true gentleman, really, in that respect. I mean, I don't know if he made a lot of money. He obviously did. But he also did a lot of good, decent work. He was actually conscious of how lucky he was in many respects and how fortunate that, you know, things worked out for him, etc., etc. So good luck to him and his family. You know, he'll be in heaven, I'm sure. May he rest in peace, because he was a decent man.
When I was single, I wore a plaid shawl. Now that I'm married, I've nothing at all. But still, I love him, I'll forgive him, I'll go with him wherever he goes. He came up to our rally and he whistled me out. The tail of his shirt from his trousers hung out, but still, I love him, I'll forgive him, I'll go with him wherever he goes. He borrowed some money to buy me a ring. He and the jeweler went off on a fling, but still, I love him, I'll forgive him, I'll go with him wherever he goes. There's bread in the oven and cheese on the shelf. If you want any more, you can sing it yourself, for still, I love him, I'll forgive him, I'll go with him wherever he goes. When I was single, I wore a plaid shawl. Now that I'm married, I've nothing at all, but still, I love him, I'll forgive him, I'll go with him wherever he goes. Still, I love him, I'll forgive him, I'll go with him wherever he goes.
Anyway, what have we got here? This is something on the other side of the track, really. Counseling services for men. It's set up to be expanded in the Republic of Ireland. Counseling service directed at men aged between 30 and 50 has seen such strong demand that it will be rolled out in three further counties across Ireland, aimed at targeting those within the high suicide rate. That's bad. Counselling programmes launched in September 2025, backed by a €2 million allocation in government funding, because they know the suicide risk is high. It provided a range of free supports, including face-to-face, phone and online counselling, and was designed to increase engagement with its target demographic. More than 5,000 people have used the service since its launch, 5,200 in fact, and thousands more counselling sessions have been delivered through it. The government working away to improve the counselling services, if at all possible. Due to such strong demand for the service, it is now being expanded with a new Men Connect programme set to launch across three family resource centres in counties Monaghan, Sligo and Waterford. So it's, unfortunately, it is huge. The Men Contact model is being piloted to provide wraparound support through dedicated outreach, mental health promotion and counselling services, a spokesperson said for the Department of Health. Health Minister Mary Butler confirmed that the new services were while announcing a major expansion of community-based counselling, more generally more accessible throughout the country, backed by a government funding of €3 million. That's about $6 million in New Zealand money. So it's a start. The response to the Men's Mental Health Initiative has been good. More than 5,200 men have already come to access support, many of them for the first time. This demonstrates the importance of providing services that are accessible, stigma-free, that's important, and responsible to people's needs. 80% of the deaths in Ireland are by suicide. There are approximately 80% of the deaths in Ireland are by suicide. Isn't that absolutely amazing? It is vital that we continue to break down barriers to help seeking and ensure that men can access support when they need it. I don't know if I got that right there, but 80% of deaths were by suicide. But anyway, it's a high number of people who commit suicide, unfortunately. We are now expanding the program through the new partnership with the Family Resource Centres, and they are at the heart of nearly every community in Ireland, and this initiative will further build on our approach of meeting men wherever they are. Minister Butler has also confirmed $1 million in funding to expand community-based counselling and psychotherapy services across the country through a new partnership between the health people, etc., the health agencies and the government. Established in 2008, Community Therapy Ireland represents 29 counselling and physiotherapy organisations delivering professional, accessible services in communities across the country. The new initiative will support the increased counselling capacity. The minister confirmed that funding will be targeted to the new clients, in particular young people and the LGBTQ plus people. That's good. They're the ones that are really marginalised a lot of the time. Community organisations play a vital role in supporting mental health issues and well-being at local level. Our partnership with the Community Therapy Ireland will help expand access to counselling services across the country while strengthening quality, governance and outcomes. This is about ensuring that people receive the right support in the right place at the right time. And I think that's what's really important more than anything else, the right time. And also for the people that are really suffering from depression or feeling suicidal, that they, have the courage have the courage and the manner to sort of, to let people know that they are in trouble and not to be ashamed of themselves, et cetera, because it really is important. If you've got people out there who are willing to help and are qualified and they're on your side, take advantage of it. Go and listen to them to see what they can offer you. Most times it'll work out really well. There's always the odd occasion when nothing will happen. Anyway, what else now for a bit of really bad news here? Really bad news. United States President Donald Trump is set to visit Ireland next month. United States President Donald Trump is set to visit the Republic of Ireland next month. Trump will spend 2 days at his golf course in Donegal, County Clare, where he will attend the Irish Open golfing tournament. The world's falling apart and he goes to play golf. Isn't that just amazing? He is also expected to visit Dublin to turn the sod on the new US embassy. His visit will be a large security operation both in Clare, which he's visited before, and the Irish capital. While the details of his itinerary are still being finalised, BBC Northern Ireland understands he will be flying into Dublin on Air Force One and holding a bilateral meeting with the Taoiseach, the Prime Minister, at his official residence, Farmley House in the Phoenix Park. He is also expected to visit the Irish President, Catherine Connell, at her official residence, also in Phoenix Park, although this is yet to be confirmed. President Connell has been critical of President Trump in the past. He will also turn the sod on the new US embassy in Ballsbridge in South Dublin before Dublin declare to do what he came for, play golf. An enthusiastic golf farm, Trump said last month that he hopes to travel to Dunbeck to watch the Irish Open. In a special video message, he told the US Embassy 4th of July celebration event that he wants to see Rory McIlroy and all the great players. There's nothing better than Irish-American friendship, and I have a beautiful place over there. It's one of the best, most beautiful golf courses anywhere in the world, said Trump. In his message, which was broadcast on a very large screen, we have a place that's so top, and we have the Irish Open going on out on there. They call it Trump National. God, no end to this man's nonsense. We sometimes use the name of the location, but it's Trump National Golf Club, and we're looking forward to it. Isn't it unreal? We're going to have a tremendous celebration. I think I'm going to come over, and I'm going to see and watch. It'll be something very, very special. Masters champion Rory McIlroy and fellow European rider Cup player Jon Rahm, I think his hand is, are among the high-profile players set to compete at Trump International on the day in the competition. McIlroy, who will be defending his title he won last year, played a round of golf with Trump in 2025. So Rory's there to see if he can reclaim his trophy, as it were, his title. But it's pretty sad in many ways. You know, that we ended up with people like that, you know. Anyway, this is something that really is, to me, it's just no reasoning for it. Five Mile Town, a Wild West-style shooting of more than 51 cattle. Yes, cattle. A review is being carried out onto an incident which saw 51 cattle being shot dead in a field, with some of it visible to the members of the public. The cull took place in a nearby Five Mile Town in County Tyrone. That's not where your man used to come from. I've forgotten his name as well. Isn't it terrible? The New Zealand actor had died here, but he came from there. The cull took place in land near Five Mile Town in County Tyrone last month. It was carried out by the Department of Agriculture, Environment and Rural Affairs. Sinn Féin Councillor Eugene McConnell said that while there may have been various varied reasons for the farm animals to be culled, the public said it was just absolutely outrageous and disturbing. They shot them in daylight in front of people. The department said it was all carrying out a court order following a previous animal welfare conviction of the cattle owner. Spokesman for the organisation said the court directed that the defendant be deprived of the ownership of all farm animals and ordered the destruction of the animal. Why would you order the destruction when you couldn't possibly have sold them and give the money back to the state, or just so they were kept alive? They were young, they were good cattle, by apparently didn't have any diseases, etc. But now fresh questions are being raised over how the cattle cull was carried out. DUP member of the local authority, Michelle McGovern, said, who is a member of the committee and a former agriculture minister, has called for an urgent sitting of the committee at a recent Mid-Ulster Council meeting reported by the local Democracy Reporting Services. It was described as a Wild West scene by McConnell, who was at the side of the cull. Spokesman during the operation told people in the air became aware at the site with a noticeable increase in local traffic on the adjoining country roads, and a number of people gathering in to intentionally observe the slaughter of the animals. Unfortunately, due to disruption by a small number of people of the public, this operation took significantly longer than was anticipated. Good on people having the balls to get up there and start to argue, but sort of show their opposition to, slaughtering animals in daylight, for no apparent reason. Speaking to the BBC News, he said, "I've never seen anything like it. It was very inhumane and it was extremely upsetting for those who came across. Gunshots could be heard miles away. Some people were just driving past, so questions had to be asked. Why was this allowed to take place?" There are regular incidents where this organisation has to go in to call animals for welfare reasons, but something went very wrong here. Remember, the public shouldn't have been there in the first place. Why not? In one case, I'm aware of a father and son driving past this field and witnessed this in broad daylight. That shouldn't have happened. That's true. You mean they're innocent animals, they weren't doing any harm. I mean, the guy was bad, but they could have sold them themselves for the state or put them up for auction, at an auction house. But no, we just slaughtered them. In a letter, one of the people emphasised that the tort was asked by a court to dispose of the animals and that the farmland in the question was remote. So, that's no reason for having that, slaughtered innocent animals. They were doing no harm. They were just in there in the paddock eating. Anyway, that's enough for me this week. So I'll see you again next week, okay? And keep warm if you can, because the weather's turned really, really bitterly cold early in the morning anyway, and late in the afternoon, from about 4 or 5 o'clock, and the temperature drops dramatically. Sometimes during the day, from, lunchtime to about 3, it's sort of, you occasionally see the sun coming out, and it's not super hot, but it is warm, and it's not as bad until it gets to 4 and 5 o'clock, when it does plummet and it gets really bitterly cold later at night. Anyway, on that note, I will love you and leave you, and we'll see you next week. Okay? Get cur.
If you enjoy this NPR podcast, please consider subscribing. Our podcasts are available on all major podcasting platforms: Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify, as well as the accessmedia.nz app. Support this show and others like it by giving a donation. For more information, go to www.npr.nz/donate.